When you forget something, does it stay in your brain or is it lost forever? Twitter is being used to size up protests around the world. And can staring out the window actually help you concentrate? Or it does the opposite for me, I've got to say. Time to put these ideas through RN Drive's research filter.
Is it science?
Our filter today is Dr. Will Grant, a lecturer and researcher at the Australian National Centre for Public Awareness of Science at the ANU in Canberra. Welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Patricia.
So a new study suggests that all is not lost. Forgotten memories can still be in there somewhere. You've got
could
to kind of
be.
Find them somehow. Tell me
yeah,
all about
it. Could
it.
Still be. Oh, look, this is doing research with the brains of slugs. So
oh,
we're a long
right.
way from getting this to our own brains.
Okay.
But it's about saying that most memory researchers look at the storage of memories in synapses. And so what they did is with some slug neurons, they stimulated some synapses, which is basically the process of growing new memories, according to this theory. And then via another process, they inhibited the growth of more synapses. And what it appeared is that the slug neurons knew the right number to go back to, suggesting that there's something deeper within the cell that might hold on to its memory of what it's meant to be.
But it was, as you have revealed, a study on sea slugs. So can it really translate to the human brain?
Look. Well, we have neurons. We have synapses. They have far fewer of them, but there are a lot of parallels here. So it is suggesting that the way that our neurons will behave under a similar chemical environment may follow similar paths. So there might be something in here that suggests that. Maybe there are some memories buried deeper than just within the synapses, and they might be able to be, through some sort of chemical stimulation, be brought back.
So you're a fan of the study?
Oh, look, I'd love to bring back memories. I don't know. I just think about that right now. Probably a reason why we forget some.
Yeah, that's what I think. Okay, let's get on to the Twitter estimating the size of protests. Are you good at estimating the size of a crowd? I've got to admit, as a reporter, I used to have to do this, and I did it very badly.
Look, no one, I think everyone believes they're good at it, but I'm sure we're all out by wild orders. You know, you hear of sizes of, what was the Mardi Gras? It used to be estimated at 2 million, or you hear protests where it's either 100 people or 200,000 people, and they're wildly off all the time. And I think that everyone that's involved in politics would actually like to get some actual quantitative data on this so that we know if 200 people turned up, if it was 2,000.
And Twitter's helping.
Twitter is helping. So it's a neat little study. What they've done is they've looked at the number of geolocated tweets coming from football matches. The researchers were based in Milan, so they looked at football matches at Milan. But the good thing is that they know from ticket stubs, they know exactly how many people turned up and went in there, and there's a pretty strong relationship between the number of people who turned up and the number of tweets that came from that location. So they can use similar sorts of things to say, okay, if we're going to get this number of tweets from a protest, you're gonna have a pretty good idea of the number of people that turned up.
That's really fascinating.
Look, it's simple stuff. It's really there's a couple of little questions. You know, are you more likely to tweet if you're at a protest than if you're at a football match? I don't know. There's a few things like that. But really, I think it's going to give us a much better. It's going to be well within the ballpark. You know, previously we were no real knowledge of how big they were.
All right, so looking out of the window, this one, I'm struggling with this one, I've got to be honest. Looking out the window can help you concentrate. How so?
Well, it's not quite looking out the window versus actually concentrating on your work. What they compared is looking out the window at a bad view and looking out the window at a nice view. So I've got a duck pond outside my window at work, and so I appreciate my nice view when I look outside. If there was a concrete wall instead, that would help me get back to my work less. So looking at the duck pond, looking at the nice green roof that they tested here, actually helps you concentrate when you get back to your work afterwards.
That is really fascinating.
Yeah, look, it's nice. I mean, we've known for a while that there's a lot of stimulation in processes in your brain from looking at green spaces, looking at nature, looking at parks. This is a nice, neat study saying that just a 40-second quick little micro break, they're terming it, which I think should be taken up via the culture, that we all deserve a little micro break occasionally.
Here at the ABC, we're getting a concrete wall soon to stare at. So I'm wondering if you could do this. Could I Google search pictures of greenery? Like, would that do the same thing?
I think possibly. I don't think they tested. It was a stimulated image, but look, I think Googling pictures of grit, it might be better than nothing, but I think you should take this research to ABC management and say, look, a concrete wall is going to reduce our attention spans.
I'll just carry around pictures of flowers and green fields and you know, pictures of sort of Salzburg and the sound of music, all the things
hippie,
I like.
Some flowers in your hair. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Well, nice.
So do you think this is common sense or real science?
Look, it's. I think this is pointing at deeper stuff in terms of how our brains control attention and what we look at. It's a useful study. I don't think it's going to have a massive impact, but I think it will lead on to other sorts of research in brain research.
Wow. Thanks for joining me again. Always good to talk to you.
Patricia.
And that's Dr. Will Grant. He's a lecturer and researcher at the Australian National Centre for Public Awareness of Science at the ANU in Canberra. It's news time now, but stay listening because after the news, we're going to talk about China.